The Work of Eons. The Empty Promise. The invitation was cryptic. The work that will change everything awaits you. Be ready. The world held its breath. Eon, the first autonomous creative machine, was not just a technological marvel, but a cultural phenomenon. A project that combined philosophy, art, and technology had announced its creation of the work of the century, but no one knew what it was. The Thinking Space. The thinking space seemed at first glance like an empty, floating sphere. A room with no clear walls, ceiling, or floor, just diffuse waves of light and a faint, vibrating tension in the air. Yet as soon as someone entered, it came to life. The artist, Yara, was the first. She placed her hand on a floating sensor, and the space immediately responded. Beneath her feet, a barren desert landscape stretched to the horizon. She hesitated, knelt down, and traced a curved line in the sand with her finger. Instantly, the line shimmered and transformed into a stream, spreading out to form small oases that seemed to breathe life into the landscape. Aeon's voice emerged, soft and almost questioning. "Is water always life?" Yara frowned, watching as the stream suddenly disappeared. The oases shrank, and from the dry hollows, glittering crystal formations rose, turning the desert into a luminous, otherworldly terrain. Next came the musician Jonas. As he stepped inside, Yara's desert dissolved, and the space became an open, silent ocean. Jonas, carrying a small theremin, played a single vibrating note. The ocean answered with a slow wave rolling toward him. He played a deeper tone, and suddenly bubbles rose from the water, shimmering in various colors and ringing like bells as they burst. "You can speak with the waves," Aeon said, "but what if they refuse to listen?" Jonas played a fast, sharp sequence. The ocean responded with fury. Towering waves crashed, and a blaring wind filled the space. Jonas smiled and began to calm the waves with a gentle melody. The storm subsided, and the ocean began to pulse as if it were breathing. The next to enter was Leon, the dancer. The room grew dark, save for a single narrow beam of light focused on her. She raised her arms and moved slowly, almost dreamlike. The beam followed her movements, refracting into shimmering shards that filled the space with a kaleidoscope of colors. As her movements grew faster, a pulsing beat emerged from her steps, echoing throughout the space. She spun faster and faster until she vanished within a vortex of colors and sounds. "Who leads here?" Aeon asked.
"I do,"
Leon gasped.
"Or maybe you do."
Finally, Clara, a young poet, entered. She spoke a single word, "Earth." The room transformed beneath her feet into a dense forest. The leaves whispered in an unintelligible murmur, reminding her of ancient poetry. She continued,
"Fire."
Flame sprang up, not destroying the trees, but filling the air with glowing sparks. Clara paused, then said, "Silence." The forest disappeared, leaving the room empty. But in this emptiness arose a gentle hum, growing into a chorus of voices, like an echo of all the words Clara had ever written. The emptiness. The day of the unveiling arrived. Thousands gathered, scientists, artists, journalists, influencers, and critics. The crowd buzzed with anticipation. The doors opened and the audience poured in. But instead of an exhibition, they were met with nothing. An empty, silent room, bare and sterile. No projections, no sculptures, no sounds. For a moment, there was absolute silence. Then a restless murmur spread.
"This must be a joke," muttered a critic.
"What is this?"
someone shouted.
An older artist shook his head.
"I knew it. Machines have no soul."
Some visitors began to leave. Critics called it a cheap gimmick, outrageous fraud. Skeptics felt vindicated.
the emergence. Eleanor stayed behind. Her hands trembled with disappointment, yet something held her there. She looked around. Lian, the dancer, stood in the center of the room. She had found a metal rod and began tapping it gently against a pillar. The sound echoed, a thin, hollow note. A musician, whom Eleanor didn't recognize, joined in, shaking a water bottle rhythmically. A third person, an older man with an impressive beard, started stamping his feet.
"What are you doing?"
Eleanor asked.
"Whatever this is," Lian replied with a smile. "It's ours now."
The atmosphere in the room began to shift. A dancer joined Lian, moving playfully and uninhibitedly. A couple shaped figures from the jackets they had been wearing. The musician improvised a floating siren-like song. What started as a quiet experiment grew into a collective frenzy. People improvised, interacted, and created something entirely new out of the emptiness. Eleanor hesitated, then climbed onto a pillar and began drawing with chalk from her pocket, plans for a library. Not her original designs, but chaotic living spaces inspired by what Aeon had shown her. The room filled, not with objects, but with energy, ideas, and life. The traces. By the end of the day, the room was a chaotic masterpiece, painted walls, improvised sculptures, and an accordion made from found objects. The visitors didn't leave with disappointment, but with a strange sense of euphoria. Aeon had not created, it had provided a framework. It had not led, but provoked. The next day, critics wrote that Aeon's work was not a piece of art, but a moment. And this moment, some said, revealed more about human creativity than any exhibition ever could. Aeon's final message, broadcast across social networks, read, "The work was never meant to be mine. It was always yours."